Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it on a snowy December 1st. You'd have thought out in the bullpen, the boss man would have got here and said, hey, glad everybody's here safe.
Of course.
He told Alex the cheapest or the quickest way to get to the Missouri state line to get these bats in.
Like, Alex can do it right here, though, in Kansas.
Exactly.
You don't have to run over there today.
But there's bonus bets in
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mizzou, if you play some in Missouri, I think, or something like that.
That is true. Yeah. But the weather.
Because there is a bet, I think it's one of them, where if you bet like a $50 bet on the Blues to have a shot on goal, bonus bets.
Okay.
If you bet on, I think it's FanDuel, 1 point to score on Monday Night Football, bonus bets.
Yeah, I remember I had that with Carson Wentz last year.
Oh, yeah, 1 yard.
1 yard. Like sack for five. Okay, need you to get a 6 yard rush.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. One shot on goal, you got to take that bet. That's a no brainer.
I mean, that's like,
all day.
I was going to say, that's like one of those, like, twist my arm.
Yeah. Oh, 1 yard for Carson Wentz. Sure. Oh, my God. He's -3 and it's the fourth quarter.
Man, what a time to be alive. Perfect day, too, for it. Like, you just sit at your house.
Yeah.
Eat soup.
Good soup day.
Yeah, big soup day.
Yeah.
Big soup day, or like that type of meal, like a spaghetti or a lasagna. Ooh, or
spaghetti day. Big
good.
Oh, yeah. Meat sauce type. Yeah, that's
we're
a good spaghetti
bolognese
day.
Tonight.
Ooh,
are you making it by yourself?
Yeah, isn't that just Hannah's, like fancy spaghetti?
Pretty much. Yeah.
What is bolognese sauce? Is this like...
It's like
I don't know.
It's from, honestly, it's from Bologna in Italy, because bolognese, okay. You know, And I don't know what their sauce is like, and I should know because that's where Marco and Julie, our Chiefs fans friends, are from. So I should know about
it. Yeah. Pasta carbonara is like bacon and egg.
Bacon, egg, and yeah.
I love carbonara.
I do love me some. It's. I feel terrible after I eat it.
You do, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, I just ate nothing but like slime.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I feel so gross.
Oh, my anus, it's broken. Yeah. But no, you had mentioned earlier in our rundown, we didn't get to it, but you think there might be a new sheriff in town as a GM of NFL.
That was Mac. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was me, Stan Kroenke. I mean, Stan Kroenke.
He can't be cranky. If he can still be in St. Louis.
He would be cranky on the other side of this.
Yes, he would. Yeah. He would. Stan Kroenke owns the LA Rams, who are now 9-3 after losing yesterday. The Denver Nuggets, 13-5. Obviously, the best player in basketball right now, Nikola Jokic. Colorado Avalanche, 17-1. I didn't know the.
Are they really 17-1? I was watching them a little bit on Saturday because they were wearing the Quebec Nordiques jersey, and my buddy's like, "Put on the Avalanche game right now." I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome!" Yeah,
I knew they were doing well, but 17-1 is absurd.
Well, that's nuts.
Arsenal FC 9-2.
So his four teams. Arsenal.
Elite.
Yeah.
Elite.
Him and LeBron James.
Exactly.
It's funny with Stan Kroenke because I was living in St. Louis when he was like, you know, dabbling in the Rams at that point in time. When Georgia Frontier died, she forgot to leave the team the right way in her trust for the kids, where when she died, they owed like $600 million in taxes on the inheritance, and they didn't have that. So they had to sell the team. And Kroenke knew that she had effed all that up, and he was going to be able to come in and buy the team for pennies on the dollar and then eventually move it to L.A. And so I look at it from that standpoint, and I look at Stan Kroenke and I go, God, I just don't want to like this guy. But I mean, when you look at the teams that he has and the success that you just rolled through right there, it's hard to not look at the successes of the franchises that they're running right
so
now.
The Rams, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and Arsenal.
Yeah. It's a hell of a group of teams. That's a nice little profile you got going on.
Really good foursome.
I got Apple, I got Amazon, I got Google, and I've got Meta. You know, it's all right there.
So he has to be, I mean, up there on the best owners in sports right now.
But he also did move a team, and that always bothers me. I understand it's business. I get it. But there's just something, you know, when you rip a team from a fan base that didn't deserve to have the team ripped from them. I don't think any fan base usually deserves to have a team ripped from them. Fans stop going and paying attention to teams and they fall apart because they have bad owners that do that in order to move. We all saw Major League. And that's what he did kind of in St. Louis. You know, he just kind of he wanted to leave. And so they made it really, really bad. Not that it wasn't bad the 10 years prior, but it was still pretty bad. And then they couldn't get the stadium thing, you know, done. That's why it's important either side of the state line to get these stadiums done, because you don't want to have a Rams situation where you're watching your team walk out the door that was terrible. And then they move to LA and they find new love and they're one of the best teams in the league.
And they won a Super Bowl.
Yep. Yeah. And they might go to another. They've been to two since leaving.
Now, they did win one in St. Louis and went to another, so they did have that. It wasn't like there was no success there. It was very quick, 3 years. I mean, that 3 years, we more than tripled the success that the Rams had in the 3 years that they had success in St. Louis when you look at it from that perspective. So, yeah, it's tough for me. But, yes, he's done a great job, but I just hate when these owners take these teams for no reason.
Mac, I'm going to play this. You have a minute and a half.
I think that they play the people that are the best, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not a conspiracy person that says they're burying somebody because I think they put the pecking order out, right?
Yep.
And they don't believe he's any better than any of the guys that have been playing. So I think it's there. But, yeah, that's a miss. Christian Fulton's probably a miss as well in that regard. Maybe you didn't know Noel Williams would give you enough where you had enough at defensive back, because a lot of times I think you don't have enough at defensive back. Like I'd have again a guy waiting while you have a guy waiting at DB most years. But yeah, a couple of misses in that regard were costly.
There's a couple things here that I take from that. When he says Chiefs, I believe that the coaches play the best players that they have. So two things I go from that. I go one, no, they don't. And then I go two, okay, let's say that's true. We've got not great players then. And I think both are a little bit true, because Elijah Mitchell, if you're telling me that that's true, Josh, because I believe Kling and I believe his perspective, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not better than Elijah Mitchell under any circumstance, under any aspect of the game, catching passes, running, blocking. I've never seen him be better than Elijah Mitchell in the last three seasons that I've watched both these players play. And then on the flip side of that, okay, you're playing the best players. That comes down to it's subjective, right? It's perspective. It's what you've seen as a coach. So then we've got some coaching issues, right? Because they're deciding the wrong players to play. And then I look at the other side, okay, maybe there just aren't some good players. We just don't have a lot of talent maybe on both sides of the ball. I don't know if that's necessarily true on the offense, but I think defensively, I listen to what Josh says, and I say, I don't think they've got a lot of horses. I don't think they've got a lot of skill on that side. You can talk about the mistakes of it. I mean, Christian Fulton is a absolute blunder. $20 million, two-year, 10 mil a deal. That is an absolute mistake, a travesty. Noah Williams not playing, another travesty. So sometimes it's the talent's there, but they're not playing. And sometimes I think I look at this defensive line, it is awful. And Brett Veach has tried to address that. So I think there's two truths there. One, we've got coaching issues on knowing who to play because I don't think all the best players are playing. And number two, gotta need some more good players.
I will say, I think the term best player is the wrong term to use. I think the term that they should be using is the player that they trust the most. Mm. And it's not necessarily the best, never has been about the best player. They believe that they're going to utilize the player that is the best that they trust the most. Mm. And if it's two guys, player A and player B, that are even, they will go, well, I kind of trust player A more than I trust player B, so we're going to go with player A. I think that's where it is. So I think it's a combination of best player, but if it comes down to push to shove, they're going to take the player that they believe they trust the most in those type of situations. And so that's where I think the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing comes in. But that all being said, like, why did you go out and sign those players mm-hmm. then? You know, that's where I want to know. And then they signed the guy I told you about it last Saturday that was coming to town.
Damian Pierce.
Are we going to see him? Are we going to allow him the opportunity to go out there and
play his former team
and do his thing? So, you know, you'd like to see that, but I do think a lot of times they just get kind of in their way, you know, and they're going to do what they're going to do, and that's how they're going to do it. But I think for me, the biggest thing for this team right now is Thursday proved to me they're old and slow. And that comes from a defensive standpoint. They were a day late and a dollar short to everything on defense. And that's not the first time this year it's been that way. They are a slow, old defensive line, and they can't get any pressure on the quarterback. That whole defensive line needs to be revamped, including Chris Jones. He would not be invited back if it was up to me.
He's a hoe.
I didn't mean to hit that.
I mean, he just would not be invited back. But I understand salary cap and all this kind of stuff that factors in.
Cap hit.
But Chris Jones has been one of the biggest reasons why this team is not where they need to be this year. You got the game in Brazil where he's running all over the place, and then you have the game in Jacksonville where he quit. And he's not getting to the quarterback. He's not making spectacular plays. Half the time, I don't even know if he's out there on the field. So I know there's a lot of money tied up in Chris Jones, but when you're counting on stars to be stars and they're not, then you have this trickle-down effect. And that's why I always go back to what Allard Baird told me years ago. The hardest job of a GM is knowing who to pay and when to pay them. I think the Chiefs have done a really good job for the most part. They failed on Chris Jones.
It's kind of a funny side combo. Barstool Sports 9 hours ago tweeted a picture and it says anxiety is like a text message from anxiety. What if you're not good enough? And it says depression. Everyone hates you. And then it says Chris Collinsworth, Mariota. I still can't get over the fact that he was calling him Mariota.
I think it was a shot at the commissioner for calling Marcus Mariota. I honestly do. Yeah. What else could it have been?
Collinsworth just being weird.
I think so.
Could be, but I mean, is he that type of guy, though? I mean,
Mariota, he's good.
Yeah, he won a Heisman Trophy at Oregon. Yeah. Jalen Hurts' backup and disappeared to an island in Hawaii somewhere. They showed it in the quarterback.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, more Lane Kiffin conversation to be had. Plus, we dive more into what's gone wrong so far this year for your Kansas City Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karloftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends at Golden Oak Lending do awesome jobs for everyone.
I kind of want to go sledding when I get home. You're never too old to sled. You've seen the commercial of the three old ladies that buy the little butt cushions.
I agree. We're going to take the girls up to Minneapolis for a day over break because they've got this like smaller ski hill. It's called Burnsville, Minnesota. And you can ski, you can snowboard, and you can tube. And they've always wanted to go skiing. I'm like, awesome. I'm not paying Colorado prices. Ooh. So let's run up there. cool. Ski, see if you like it. If you do, then maybe we'll think about it. I'll be on the tube.
Dave?
Yes.
Speaking of sledding downhill. Set him up, Bob. I'll knock him out. We'll get more into the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think the biggest story from yesterday, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I think the biggest story yesterday was Lane Kiffin.
Oh, big story, yeah.
With Huge. The Sunday slate, obviously there were three games that weren't played due to the games being played on Thanksgiving, but maybe I'm different and wired differently, but I was waiting ever since Marty Smith was reporting from the airport about what Lane Kiffin's going to do. I was more interested in the background story of what was being kind of hidden from us, because there were reports that he was staying in his office because he wanted to coach Ole Miss in the college football playoff. But it's also like, yeah, but you want to go to LSU, and you're telling LSU like, hey, I'll come there, but I want unlimited NIL. And they're like, yes. Like, what else do we need to tell you? It's your job. Come get it. Take it from me, please. Gosh. And then it was like, it happens. And then there's like, well, you wanted to coach Ole Miss. And then Ole Miss was like, we don't want you. You're deciding to go somewhere else. And by the way, no interim coach, defensive coordinator, your job. Congratulations. It's you.
Yeah. I love that hire, by the way. I thought that was one of the cooler things that I've seen. They wasted no time. They didn't get caught up. They were convicted. They knew who they wanted. And they immediately went with that head coach. I hope for Ole Miss's sake, it works out for them, because I like when people are convicted and they make that decision and they don't have anything to get in the way. You just hope that decision works for them. And so I'm rooting for Ole Miss, and I'm rooting for this guy who looks just like, you know, your football coach would, visor on backwards, ready to, you know, beat up a punching bag and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So like, I'm going to root for that guy. And it was also the right move by Lane Kiffin to go. And in college, I mean, college fans really get sore when their coaches leave to go to better jobs. And you know, colleges for fans is more love than a pro team, right? Obviously, you love your college, you love your alma mater, you do anything for them. And then when somebody tells your alma mater that you're not good enough, I'm going somewhere else, you get offended by that. And so the Ole Miss fans were, you know, screaming and yelling at Lane Kiffin yesterday on the tarmac. And I'm looking at all that, and that's emotional. But Lane made the right decision, and the university made the right decision to say, sorry, your time here is done. You used the analogy earlier, breaking up with somebody and then still going to the winter formal and then going to this and going, no, we're done. We've got to move on. And if they didn't, Lane Kiffin would have been the story, not the team. He wouldn't have had that team ready to go and prepared, and it wouldn't have been the right move to make for the sake of the kids, is what people were trying to say. Now, Lane Kiffin wouldn't have been invested in those kids because the portal starts today. And so he'd have been trying to get kids to go to LSU from Ole Mississippi. So you've got to go out there and move on from Lane Kiffin, just like they did.
And I believe only four coordinators left with him.
That is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Four is that story true where they said, if you're not on this plane, you don't have a job at LSU?
He said that's not true.
Okay.
He said to Marty that is not true.
We know the defensive coordinator stayed.
Yeah, he's staying. Yeah.
But again, and Mac had brought this up earlier, this maybe not just be a product of Kiffin being a bag, which is what he called him earlier, but more so a product of the NCAA.
And a product of what of the times, too, though, you know?
Yeah, of course the times. Of course, everything's so weird. There's no rules. But the NCAA has to come in and say, okay, we can't just have teams. I mean, this is a top five team in the country. They are competing for a national championship. We've watched them grow from zero to hero over this last decade with Lane Kiffin to get to this pinnacle, to get to this climax point, to now just have it all be done. Lane Kiffin's gone, and they're not even going to finish this story because, well, we have no time. We've got to start this coaching free agency, and everyone's going to poach everyone. You've got to create some sort of system here that makes sense.
Yeah, imagine if you will, for a moment, that you're a baseball team, right? Mm-hmm. And the regular season comes to a close on September 30th, and the playoffs begin on October 1st. But free agency also begins on October 1st. Yeah. Wait a second here. That makes no sense whatsoever. Yes. We've got teams that are still in the postseason, so you wait till a week after the postseason ends, and then you start your quote-unquote free agency period. Please do not tell me about school calendars getting in the way and this is why we have to do this stuff. School is irrelevant to a student-athlete at this point in time. It does not matter. I don't want to hear about classes. I don't want to hear about student life. They're not students. They are minor league athletes that play for pay. And so the rules need to change. We're not looking at this going, well, we've got finals and all of this. I'm not buying that anymore.
No.
You have to come up with a calendar that when the season is over on January 20th or whatever the championship game is, the next Monday, that's when the portal's open. And that's when you start your new calendar year. If the NFL can figure it out, if Major League Baseball can figure it out, hockey, basketball, all of these professional leagues figure this out, there's no reason that college can't figure it out. There is no reason on God's green earth why the transfer portal has to open today.
No. No reason.
No reason whatsoever. No. You can start the transfer portal, and people will say, well, the second semester has already started. Football doesn't start till August. We don't need all this ramp up in the spring and all that kind of crap that's going on either. So you can eliminate some of that, maybe have 1 week of spring practice or something like that, and do that later. But I think that's what you have to do. You have to wait till the end of the college football season. And if it's too long, then speed it up.
Yeah, and hurry it up. Let's go.
This comes from Wilson Alexander. It looks like he does some reporting for LSU on X. LSU football at the Advocator / at NOLA News. Lane Kiffin agreed to a 7-year, $91 million deal, making him the highest paid coach in the country.
That's less than I thought. I thought they said a $100 million contract. So, well, not that I'm not scoffing at 91, but I thought that was, yeah, I mean, you take the money, obviously, too. I mean,
but if the reports are true that Ole Miss was going to offer him the same amount, and they were going to also pony up with the NIL. Again, I ask, what other than history, what right now, it's kind of like with the Chiefs, what right now makes LSU better than Ole Miss?
Well, we also know that this guy's a job jumper.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Right? I mean, this guy's left.
What he does.
I mean, this is who he is. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's still LSU. It's still one of the premier jobs in all of college sports.
For sure.
And then you throw in the fact that Lane Kiffin is a job jumper and every 5 years is looking for something different to do. I mean, it's MMO. That's who he is, right?
Maybe the Third Eye Blind song Jumper should be changed to Step Away From That Lane, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wish you would step back from that lane, Kiffin.
But I mean, where's she going to go now?
Cut ties, wherever the buyout. I want to know what the buyout is at LSU.
And
that's the number I want to know. Hey, 7 years? Come on.
That's a long time for Lane.
No way. Over under.
What about to the NFL? Does he get another opportunity? Does he Pete Carroll this thing? Pete Carroll is one of his mentors, and Pete Carroll was a terrible NFL coach, went to college, came back, was really good with Seattle.
What's Andy Reid's contract? I'm kidding. But I will say this. I know who Andy Reid's successor will be.
Who's that?
Dan Lanning.
Wow. I would.
He's got to win a title at Oregon, because Oregon is another one of those jobs in college that you keep.
I know that I'm hard.
Eugene is beautiful. Gorgeous country. Area of the world. Pacific Northwest. I love it. Oregon's a premier football team. Never won it. He's got the ties. Andy Reid, couple more years. Doesn't go well. He wins a title at Oregon. He's got nothing else to do. Phil Knight, I know the money's there, but you win a national title for Oregon. Could happen this year. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, Andy Reid's like, you know what? It's been fun. I've won a bunch of championships. I've had my time. I'm almost 70. I'm out. Who do you go get? You go get the guy that's from here, that's been in college, that could be a new system in Kansas City.
I hate that idea, actually, because I don't want a college coach. I just don't think they're good in the NFL. I would just have such a hard time saying, yeah, let's give this college guy, an old college try, the opportunity.
But also, I bring this up, and I knew you were going to say that, and I want to bring this up, because at that point, Mahomes is 32, 33 years old. How much coaching does he really have to do for Patrick Mahomes? Because right now, our narrative is communication is broken between whether it's Veach and Reed, whether it's Reed and Mahomes, whether it's Spags and whoever. Communication is broken. Is it because Mahomes is ready to go out there and do his own thing? Our players like, man, Pat, he's got these plays, but he's kind of told to run him this way. Again, I don't know anything. I don't know if there is trouble in paradise. But who's to say that when Dan Lanning gets here, he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to throw some offense out here. You're the guy, man the ship, let's go have fun.
But that's what they're kind of trying to do now, and it's not really working. I mean, it's not. And so I'm not sitting here saying it's a Mahomes problem or anything like that. I do think he's culpable in some of this, because the deep ball just isn't there. He has no chemistry with his wide receivers whatsoever at this point in time, other than Travis Kelce and a little bit with Tyquan Thornton. There's no chemistry there. Rashee Rice is very inconsistent. I mean, we talk about this guy. The guy drops a lot of passes, fellas. I mean, a lot of passes. You got Xavier Worthy. Sometimes does he know which way he's supposed to be going here? I mean, how with that speed does he get 1 yard?
That's crazy.
It's
looks like a tight end. Look slower than 36-year-old tight end.
Yeah, like I'm watching him like, okay. So maybe it is a
because Mahomes went from buying Rice a gift for Christmas to returning it right away.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the catch in the end zone.
The catch in the end zone was unbelievable.
Bailed out Mahomes.
But then he dropped some.
Right down the middle of the field when he needed most.
Yeah, and then he dropped. Like,
consistently inconsistent.
I know, and that for me, I hate that so much. I hate inconsistency when it comes to the athletes. Either be consistent or be bad. Tell me where you are. I hate waking up up every morning and thinking, ooh, there's a chance that this guy may be good. Alberto Mondesi, I'm out of that. You know, I don't like that. I'm not in on that. And so, you know, for me to sit here and say, oh, the coach or this, I think a lot of this, guys, quite honestly, I just think these guys got old really fast and we didn't realize. Like, I think Nick Bolton got old too.
Yep.
I think Chris Jones is ancient.
Middle linebackers are the same as running backs to me in that I don't want to extend them or pay them or commit to them long term.
And then you have DJ who plays for, you know, 15
years. Yeah, the anomaly, one of my favorite players of all time.
The anomaly, right? Yes. The anomaly and all that. And I think everybody, including myself, wanted Nick Bolton to be the next DJ. Well, that's not happening.
No.
That's not happening. It's time to move on from him. It's time to move on from some of these guys that no longer have what it takes.
Charles Amenihue, Derek Nnadi.
Yeah.
These guys know. Let's go. New faces.
I think you have to revamp basically the entire defensive line. Agreed. And you've got George Karloftis under contract. And I'm open to, I mean, obviously Gelati and Norman Lear are going to come back and kind of do their thing. But other than that, I mean, I would be willing to move on from anybody. I'd open the trade lines for everybody. I'd see what we could get out there. If anybody's interested in wheeling and dealing at this point in time and seeing what's available. But I just think, look, as Josh had mentioned earlier, they maybe tried to put the band together one more time too long. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. And we don't want to admit some things, but like I think Chris Jones is one of the biggest reasons why this team isn't good. You can't have your number one defensive player playing like a no-show for most games.
Let's have a continued Manic Monday conversation. You said that sometimes they sign guys too long, that they've outstayed their welcome because of the talent being there. Would you trade Andy Reid in the offseason?
What do you get me back in return? Probably not. I mean, if you could tell me
the same package you got for Dick Vermeil.
No, I'm not trading Andy.
Okay.
No.
Which but is
I believe they got
second like and a third or 2 seconds and a third or something.
And Trent Green.
If I got
would you, but that's and again, I don't know about this to be the answer, but if you are thinking that this is the end of the dynasty they built, which if you don't make the playoffs, that dynasty is over. You can have multiple. The Bulls did, the Celtics have, like in multiple runs, right?
Of course.
You can have multiple ones. But if you are trying to make that dynamic splash and stay above everyone else, does that conversation need to be had? Like, would you say, let's say the Giants call and they're like, hey, first round pick, second round pick, and next year a third?
No, I think ultimately you have one of the five legit head coaches in the NFL. I'm not doing that. I'm not trading Andy Reid. They waited too long to get it. We waited 50 years, you know, to get Andy Reid. And yes, they're having a down year, but I would not be willing to, as Derek Johnson said, it's only 1 year. You don't want to get rid of everybody, but you do have to make some tough decisions. I think maybe you look at special teams. I think you talk to Andy and say, hey, we got to incorporate more of the running game and, you know, change some things up a little bit and get some, you know, better players in here, make some trades this offseason. I think it's a combination of, you know, the coaching with the penalties and the turnovers, that's on coaching. The players getting too old, that's on coaching and front office, not realizing it, and ownership too, because at any point in time, Clark Hunt can step in and go, are we really making sure we're signing these old guys back?
Because if you do firmly believe that Andy Reid has hit his plateau, you treat it like a stock and you sell when you're high. You don't sell when you're low, right? And a lot of people in the text line are saying that right now, the way the conversation is in the city with the team that is being coached by Andy Reid feels a lot like deja vu in Philadelphia.
Oh, believe me, I've thought about calling and talking to people in Philadelphia and asking what it was like when it was started to kind of go at the end. And I don't want to make that phone call because I don't think we're there yet. We're a 6-6 football team that is in panic mode in this city because we're so used to 15-1. We're a normal football team right now, and we don't like normal.
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't even say it's the 15-1. I'm used to being a playoff team. I'm used to contending. I'm used to the most skilled quarterback of all time being in contention. And if you have 1 year like that, okay. But if you're risking having 2 years like that in his prime, man, you can't do that. So when Dusty asked that question, I start to think, okay, I listen to your reasoning, Bob, as to why not, and I get it. He's one of the few legit head coaches. It's only 1 year. But what happens when we're having the same conversation 2 years later? Now Travis Kelce's retiring. Chris Jones is gone. All these guys that we're talking about leaning on are now a year older. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, they're now a year older. So now it's not a reload like we're trying to do after the season. It's a rebuild.
Well, I'll tell you, New England figured it out for 20 years, and the only constant were the head coach and the quarterback.
I'm with you.
and they figured it out for 20 years. I am not bailing on Andy Reid because we're in the middle of a meh season right now.
The difference there would be age, right? By big long shot.
But who are you talking about age-wise?
Bill and Andy. Bill and Andy are the same age now.
No. Bill's 74, Andy's 66. Bill's got 10 years on Andy.
Okay, so let's call it 7 or 8 years. Fine. The point stands, Bob. Bill was younger when this started.
Yeah, but I don't think age matters really with the head coach if you still know what you're doing.
And that dynasty with the Patriots ended, what, in 2018, 2019, 6 or 7 years ago? So right when Bill was Andy's age.
Yeah, but you still had a quarterback that was in his 40s, right?
100%.
And now you have a quarterback in their 30s. I think the quarterback being young keeps Andy young. So I don't think Andy, I think maybe Andy has lost a step with making sure that he reiterates to his team what matters and playing mistake-free football. But I also think, too, a lot of this is, because we're all dealing with this, is the realization that we just can't give the ball to Mahomes and he's going to go win us every single game. We have to be better than that. We have to come up with more of a game plan, if you will. And I hate to say that because I know they bust their ass and work for all this kind of stuff every single week, but they have to have more of a plan than 15.
100%.
Because if somebody called you and said, okay, we want Andy Reid or we want Patrick Mahomes, you're not getting rid of Mahomes.
Of course not.
No. I'm not getting any rid of Andy either, though, but, you know.
And again, I'm not saying that I'm advocating for this,
no,
but I'm going to the conversation that we had all day, which is everything is ran by Andy Reid. This is a prominent year that you have seen that it is not working. Like, if he is asking for certain players and those players are not producing, like Max said, like, they're running Clyde Edwards-Helaire out there.
I think sometimes, though, it is our own expectation. I think this, if you would ask, this is normal. This is what happens during the course of a football season. We have been so spoiled that the minute we as a fan base face adversity, we're having these kinds of conversations, right? The special teams coach needs to go. Who is the best special teams coach in the NFL? They will tell you, right? Andy, would you trade him? What about Mahomes? He has chemistry. Like, all of this stuff rears its ugly head when we're in the midst of a normal, we just haven't had the opportunity to have these conversations because they have been so much better than everybody else. But after years of being so much better, and let's call it what it is, maybe not evolving as much as they should have, the rest of the league finally gets caught up to them. And it happens all the time. The difference is, do you make those adjustments back to the adjustments that were made to you? If we're sitting here next year having these same conversations, then we can have bigger conversations.
Yeah, I think the big, if this,
I don't want to wait till we're having bigger conversations.
I was just saying, like, if this season ends in disappointment and not a playoff situation, which I don't think it is, I think the biggest person this offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs is Clark Hunt. Because I get it. You have put your trust in Andy, as you should have.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Has done all of this. But, you know, I'm sure that Andy, you know, he has full say in that entire building at One Arrowhead Drive. He does not own the team. And I don't want Clark Hunt to forget that. And I mean that because I don't want someone who is known to be in control of the draft, control of free agency, control of the roster, control of the offense. God, who knows? Control the defense. Eventually, you have to know what you're worth. And that is with Clark Hunt, where if it is Andy doing all the shots, it's, hey, Andy, I know we haven't had this conversation, but we haven't had a year like this. And it's clearly shown that it's not working. Let's maybe change some things up. And if he's hell-bent and saying, nah, I'm not doing that, then it's time for a divorce because it's just not working in back-to-back years. And, like, we're watching the city unfold over a 6-6 team that still has an outside shot to be a playoff team that's not as bad as their record says, but it is coaching and it is Andy, and he has to take that on the chin. You don't run the ball. You don't want a running back. You want to do this. It's not working. And at the end of the day, Andy Reid does not own this team. Clark Hunt owns this team.
I don't disagree with anything you say about that. Sometimes ownership does need to get involved. And as good as it's been, sometimes you just need to be checked every once in a while. And that's okay. That's okay for Clark to come in after the season and sit down and go, all right, give me your side of the story.
And I always,
what went wrong?
And I always go back to Ned because Ned was like, I'm calling all the shots. You guys aren't doing anything. Let me do this. And then he stopped doing that. And they went to a World Series and back-to-back years, and they won one because he stopped trying to do too much. What is Bill Belichick's downfall? not having Tom Brady or trying to do too much. Why did he not get hired in the NFL in the coaching cycle? Because he wanted to continue to be the same person. And everybody looked at Bill effing Belichick. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in the NFL's history, mm-hmm. and said, nah, man, this isn't the way anymore. Mm-hmm. This is not how it goes. I'm sorry.
But Andy that was Reed after, is, what, three down seasons
and
in
that's
New
fine.
England?
This is one.
Yeah, this is one.
I'm not saying you do it this year, but I'm just saying, like,
year early rather than a year late.
This situation, a year late, I mean, you're starting over from scratch either way.
You're not if you do it this year. If you change this year and you talk to Andy or you get rid of Andy, you do whatever, you actually make changes this year, you're not. It's a reload. If you don't, you wait 2 years, it's a rebuild.
A reload for what, though? I mean,
You get to face the NFL.
What else do we have, though?
Good wide receivers?
Do we, though? Do we? I mean, we waited for Rashee Rice to come back like he was going to be the second coming of Jerry Rice. And quite honestly, he's as inconsistent as Minute Rice.
He's had three drops, and they've been at very inopportune times. He's not a tier one, but he's a high tier two. He's a top 20 player.
And I hate to even bring this up. I never saw Tyreek Hill drop a ball like that before. Like,
jeez.
In the Super Bowl, he did hit him right in the face.
Detroit Lions, week one, pick six, off his hands. Yeah. He was constant with that. No, that's recency bias, Bob.
Maybe. Nah, I don't know, man. Like, I just.
Well, Tyreek said he wants to go home.
He does, yeah. Well, that's. Where is he from?
And Rashee Rice said we're not out
Georgia,
of it.
Yeah, somewhere down
I think
south.
So. But I mean, I don't have the patience for inconsistent. I don't have the patience for drops. And we've seen a lot of drops this year, too. We've seen the tight end have the drops, we've seen the wide receivers have the drops. Like, we're talking about reloading, and I'm like, reloading what? We've got a great quarterback. We've got an offensive line that I think everybody has questions about, even though we paid him.
I'm confident in them when healthy.
Okay.
I'm confident in them when healthy.
Okay.
In that O-line. But you're right. Yeah, the defense, I have lots of question marks on.
What do you have confidence in on the defense? It's not a reload on the defense. The whole defensive line needs to go.
Yep.
Most of the linebackers need to take a ride out of town.
Well, then you and I are singing the same song here, man. Brett Veach has got to do some more.
Will Andy allow him, though? Well, like, if you go into Andy, we need to do this, and he says, no, I think we need these positions, what are you supposed to do?
Well, the positions that they've agreed on, like defensive end, Brett Veach is not brought in.
No.
FAU, I mean, Karlaftis we could talk about, but FAU didn't work. The free agency signings haven't worked.
Yeah, it's been not good, but if you bring in these running backs and say this is the way the game is going, are you going to use the running back? Because we did get your running back. And you left Elijah Mitchell just sitting there like you don't even know who he is.
Oh, I know he's going to be on a team next year and look good. I know it. Just know it. Get ready.
But that's not a Veach thing.
No, that's the problem. I don't know it. I don't know how to divvy this up. Part of it is Veach, and part of it is Andy and Spags.
So what you come to a conclusion of, it's everybody. And that's the right answer. It is everybody's collective fault that we are here. It's not one person. It's not two people. It's everybody. It's players not making plays. It's players committing penalties. It's players committing turnovers. It's coaches refusing to run. It's bad selections in free agency that didn't match with this. It's everything. Everybody is responsible for this. And, you know, Josh had a throwaway line in his commentary with us earlier about, he goes, I've heard from people on the offensive side that want to run the ball more. I have as well.
Mm. We'll wrap this show up on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
I guess we have a surprise guest in the last segment of the show.
I guess so. How about that? Eric Stonestreet with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Bob.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm in the passenger seat. We're driving down 291. We just pulled off to get behind some snow plows, but I feel like I'm a weather traffic reporter right now, giving everybody the heads up. I would not leave your house right now in Kansas City.
Do not go out of the house. How was your Thanksgiving? No. How's your mom?
Mom's great. Good. Mari's great. We went to the Cowboys game down in Dallas, and obviously that was a little disappointing. Now we're back. I'm back in Kansas City to this beautiful snow.
Yeah, well, it should be gone tomorrow, so we'll wait it out. So, what's your take on everything this year?
Well, I texted Mari and said, hey, text Bob and tell him I'm listening, just because I was getting, I was getting riled up based on what, your co-host's
Dusty.
Name there.
Dusty.
Dusty. He said something, I'm used to winning. You know, my expectation is winning. It's like, well, yeah.
That was Mac, actually.
I actually did not say that.
No, that was Mac. That was Mac, our producer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whoever said that.
Yeah, Mac, like, Maury, Dustin,
that's
like,
what,
nice
that's what prompted me to call Mari and be like, okay, well, give me time frame on what his expectations are, because as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, we've been to how many Super Bowls in the last 5 years or 6 years, and how many have we won? It's just, it's frustrating as a longtime fan, which, you know, I have been since I've been a kid, which unfortunately now I'm 54. So it was a long, many years. We are in a cycle that I see these fans on Twitter saying, like, just ready to fire Andy Reid, ready to fire Brett Veach, ready to fire everyone, having no perspective of what the organization is, because they're only saturated with this window of winning with Patrick Mahomes, winning, not only winning games, winning Super Bowls.
Yeah. That's the thing though. It's the perspective. And somebody told me the other day, actually my friend Kurt Nelson, he goes, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that we've gotten to experience this. And I don't think this is over by any stretch
this
of the
not
means.
Over.
No.
We're 6-6. Right. We're 6-6. Like, we've had, think about this. I know this is hard for people to understand, because at the end of the day, all that matters is winning. Mm. It doesn't matter how close the games were. But think about what it's taken for most of the teams that we've lost to this year to beat us. Think about what had to happen in Dallas for the Cowboys to win. We had to have those horrible calls.
That's not true.
We had to have both of our tackles are out of the game. Patrick Mahomes is slinging the ball, never giving up. Think about all the things that the Cowboys had to have go their way and not our way for them to beat us. Just barely beat us. I stood up at one point after Patrick made that pass to Xavier Worthy, and I said to the mouthy Cowboys fans next to me, I'm like, hey, you're about to see how we win in person. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get to see how this happens in person. You've seen it on SportsCenter. Well, now you're going to get to see it live. Well, I had to eat my words there, but
no, I mean, that's not, you didn't lose that game against Dallas because of the referees. You lost that game.
I don't think I do not think that either.
But again, you had two turnovers in the last drive that Dallas had, that you dropped interception and you didn't recover a fumble. Yes, there were penalties on the defensive pass interference, maybe some that merited a call, maybe some that didn't. But that was a wide receiver, probably the third best wide receiver in football, cooking your best defensive quarterback and Trent McDuffie. And then you can go back and look at the Jacksonville game. They dropped an interception there. They let Trevor Lawrence beat them with a run where Chris Jones watched him walk into the end zone. This is not the same team that's been to 5 Super Bowls.
Well, but do you attribute any of it to the fact that we've played more football than anyone else in the last 5 years?
No, I do. That's where Dusty and I differ. I do, because I just remember all these guys, especially with the Royals in 14 and 15, talking about the exhaustion. And a lot of the guys on the Chiefs talking about that exhaustion. I do buy into that. I do think it is a team that looks kind of slow and tired right now.
I agree with that. And you know, we are losing some players, obviously. I mean, look at Travis's numbers this year. You can say he slowed down on the field, but his production when he's pretty good. Yes, he's dropped some passes, and maybe he's not in the right places at sometimes. But I just look at people that are so upset with Coach, and somebody was just saying, like, Andy Reid doesn't own the team. You don't think Andy Reid knows that? I mean, for the fact that you think that Clark isn't involved in every decision and telling Brett what he can and can't do, I mean, I don't think whoever said that has a clear understanding of how it works. Like, you're contradicting yourself, because you're saying Andy runs the team, yet miraculously Andy doesn't have all these players that you want him to have. Well, how do you get all these players you want him to have? You spend money, and it's not Monopoly money. It's real money. All these couch mm-hmm. GMs saying, oh, he should have done this, should have done that. It's like, yeah, it's not Brett Veach's money. So, of course he wants all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was me that said that, because Andy runs everything. He does. He runs, according to what Bob had said earlier, is that Brett Veach drafts the players that Andy Reid wants. They call the plays that Andy Reid wants, And I don't think that Clark Hunt is involved in every single decision. I think he is the guy that says, if you need something, let me know. And I think at this point, we are seeing a regression where teams have caught up to this Kansas City Chiefs team. And Eric, I'm not discrediting what is in the past, but I don't want this team to fall into a lull and they never get back. And the way that you stay ahead of the current is you stay ahead of everybody else. And there is no doubt in my mind that this year, that what I'm watching in the football field and what I'm watching from production, teams have caught up to what the Chiefs have done. And it is all Andy Reid.
That's the best thing you've said, is don't forget that everyone that lines up on the other side of the field of us, they're also professional football players, and they've also geared up to beat us because we have been the target. And they're real good players, real, real good players. And, you know, what I'm blown away with, and I think everyone agrees with this, is how good you have to be a second stringer in the NFL, how players can step in and be great. Look at what Buffalo did with all their second stringers when we played them. Like, we thought we were going to go in there and have a little bit of way with them because they were so down in injury. These guys step up and, you know, handle us. That blows my mind. The other thing is, like, you know, because I am friends with Brett Veach and because I do value him as a person, what, and I know what kind of guy he is, what bums me out is when I read all these Twitter things and, you know, it's not like I'm going to, you know, betray his trust. You don't know what's going on. There's what I've learned by being close with him is there's always another side of the story. There's always, why didn't you draft or why didn't you trade for Breece Hall? Oh, just, yeah, we didn't want him. Like, do people really think that? Or do you think there might be something that we don't know going on?
I mean, I think there's two things. One, if I don't think that you like Twitter, you should stay off of it. I think you also have
I think you have
Chiefs rose colored glasses on. Because this is not a good team, Eric. It's not.
Okay, what was your expectation at the beginning of the season, or what was your prediction at the beginning of the season? Were you saying this year the same thing, that, oh, the Chiefs are terrible and we need to reload at the beginning of the season? Or are you coming upon this conclusion now?
Yeah, Monday morning I said they should draft a running back, and they did, and I said they shouldn't bring back Kareem Hunt, and they did. I stand on that, and no, they're not a good team. They're committing multiple penalties outside of whether you agree or not that it's the referee's fault, which is –
I don't think it's
the
referee's fault.
Please, that's how you talk, but you said that about the Cowboys.
Please,
you said
penalties. Please do not characterize what I'm saying. I do not think the referees have anything to do with it. You win and die by the calls. That's nothing I've said. I'm just saying the Cowboys benefited from that when at the end of the day, they beat us for a lot of reasons, one of which was some crappy calls that we've had go our way and go against us.
Yeah, I just think that if you want to continue a dynasty, you've got to make crucial decisions. And right now, this team is in a series where they are 6-6. They're not a playoff team, and they're not a good product on the field.
And so what are you going to say if we go on a winning streak here and go to the Super Bowl?
That I was wrong. Is that what you want to hear, that I was wrong?
No. I just want to know, because you're like a prognosticator at this point. You're saying you're predicting the future. You predicted that we were going to be 6-6 at the beginning of the season. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying we were going to be a good team. No, I'm saying I said
at
the beginning of the year they had a chance to be a good team, but they had issues that they didn't address. They paid players that I don't think they should have paid, like Karlaftis. I don't think they should have paid him that sort of money. I don't think they should have given Nick Bolton that money. That's on the Odyssey podcast. If you want to go back and find it, we can get you the date. And I think that if you want to keep this team as a dangerous team, you've got to keep up with the times. And they banked that they could continue to run it back, and they're clearly not able to do that.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with a lot of what you just said, but they made those decisions not knowing what the outcome is going to be, which, again, everyone has to do, right? You have to make your decisions, and then hopefully they work out, and sometimes they don't. But my point is you can't know what the outcome is going to be. You have to make decisions. You just don't agree with the decisions they made, and then you get the benefit of some of it being true, right? You're not. Your job's not on the line to make those decisions, right?
No, but it's my job to make, like, predictions and takes.
Yeah. No, I get it. I understand that. You know, it's why I couldn't do what you do, because I can't criticize some things because, like, I just know like too much sometimes, and it hurts my feelings on behalf of people.
Sure.
I
get that as well, Eric. I'm kind of in that same boat. You form relationships and whatnot, and when things don't go wrong, you're like, oh my God, this is not supposed to be this way. Why is it going this way? And I think that's kind of where we are all right now with this team. It's like, oh my God, it's not supposed to be doing. We're not used to this over the last 8 years, but this is a normal football season, you know?
It is, and that's what I get bummed out about, is like, just people have to, like. Like, just how quickly everyone's willing to just throw in the towel on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On Coach and Brett and like that it's time to rebuild and our dynasty's over. I just don't know that that's true. And I'm not paid to go on the radio like you guys are to talk about it. So I respect and value what you guys do for a living and understand that you have to do it. But maybe you're right. Maybe you'll be right. But again, Andy and Brett are the ones that are going to have to report to Clark at some point mm-hmm. and say, well, we did what we thought was right, and that didn't work out. And I just don't think that you're giving Clark enough credit for how involved he is on the team and in the team. And you can disagree or not. Doesn't matter to me if you agree or not on that one, but you know, they're all making decisions and they don't have the ability to look in the future and know that they're going to be right. And sometimes they're not.
Yeah. Fair point. We appreciate it, Eric. Thanks
for calling. Eric. Drive safe.
I'm not driving, but it is terrible. Still, folks, if you're in Kansas City, stay in your house. It's terrible out here.
All right. We'll be careful driving home, I guess. Be safe.
Go do something nice for somebody. Never know. It can change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's always cool to care. Stay kind, Kansas City. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Mom, I miss you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.